Recorded Books and One-Click Digital present Taxing the Rich, A History of Fiscal Fairness in the United States and Europe by Kenneth Sheevey and David Stasavage, narrated by Jonathan Todd Ross. A quote from Exodus, chapter 30, verse 15. The rich shall not give more, and the poor shall not give less than half a shekel, when they give an offering unto the Lord, to make an atonement for your souls. A quote from David Lloyd George, 1916. There are hundreds of thousands who have given their lives. There are millions who have given up comfortable homes and exchanged them for a daily communion with death. Multitudes have given up those whom they love best. Let the nation as a whole place its comforts, its luxuries, its indulgences, its elegances, on a national altar consecrated by such sacrifices as these men have made. Part 1. Debating Taxation. Chapter 1. Why Might Governments Tax the Rich? When and why do countries tax the rich? It's hard to think of a timelier question today, or one for which there are more sharply colliding views. We know that taxes on the rich today aren't what they were half a century ago, but how did we get from there to here? We know even less about how those high taxes of the 20th century happened in the first place. Was it the effect of democracy, or a response to rampant inequality? Much of what is written today about taxing the rich takes the form of advocacy that is focused above all on the present. We do something different by taking a step back and showing what the long history of taxing the rich can teach us about our current situation. What a country decides about taxes on the rich has profound consequences for its future economic growth and the distribution of economic resources and opportunities. Given the stakes, it's surprising how few comparative studies exist of taxation of the rich over the long run. Many people have asked this question only for recent decades or for a single country. The last book to treat the question extensively was published more than a century ago by Edwin Seligman. We argue that societies do not tax the rich just because they are democracies where the poor outnumber the rich, or because inequality is high. Nor are beliefs about how taxes influence economic performance ultimately decisive. Societies tax the rich when people believe that the state has privileged the wealthy, and so fair compensation demands that the rich be taxed more heavily than the rest. When it comes to thinking of what tax policy is best, few would disagree with the notion that government should be, in part, guided by fairness. It is a term used frequently by those on both the political left and right. How can this be? History suggests that the concept of fairness is up for grabs. Standards of fairness in taxation vary greatly across countries, over time, and from individual to individual. When scholars write about fairness and taxation, they most often adopt a normative point of view. That is, they ask what government should do. But fairness isn't just a normative standard. It also matters for what governments do in practice because it influences the policy opinions of citizens. Ordinary people are more likely to support heavy taxation of the rich if it adheres to the fairness standards that they themselves hold. While many theories of politics assume people are concerned only with maximizing their own income, there is abundant evidence that humans are also concerned about issues of equity and fairness. These concerns don't mean that people aren't also concerned about self-interest. No one likes paying taxes, or even that self-interest isn't their prime concern. Individuals may also care about the efficiency of a tax system and whether it taxes people so heavily that they stop producing at all. Opinions about tax policy can be informed by both self-interest and efficiency, as well as fairness. Political support for
Sample complete. Ready to continue?